Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Daniel, the second chapter of the book of Daniel. It's appropriate tonight, Daniel, that I'll preach from this book. Thank you for your testimony, sharing with us about your future. We will be praying. Amen. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 1, chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretations thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things of thy magicians, or astrologers, or Chaldeans. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Let us pray. Father, again this evening, I want to thank you for your precious, precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful love for us, and the fact, Lord, that by putting faith in him, we have eternal life. Father, we understand as I stand here and pray tonight that it be impossible to even approach you except it be for the finished work, the shed blood of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. We do approach you boldly, though, and ask you tonight that you would help us, that you would empower us to do that which you've appointed. And Father, that you would work the work tonight in each of our hearts that need to be worked. Father, do that which we need tonight. Help this preacher as he preaches. Give me power, wisdom, that the will of God may be done. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First chapter of the book of Daniel, in verse number 17, it says, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. There's no doubt, Daniel left no doubt, let me put it that way, who it was that gave him the wisdom that he had. God had given it to him. He had understanding. God had given him that understanding. Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. He had made a purpose of his heart. He had decided, he chose, he determined that he was not going to do that. Daniel had already proved himself a faithful servant in many, many areas. And as he came to Babylon, that wicked city, he came with a determination that he was going to serve God and be faithful to God in all his dealings. So we find here a man ready to serve God. As you look at the scripture, you find out that men like Nebuchadnezzar, kings, a lot of times don't get too many good nights' sleep. I don't know whether you've ever noticed in the scripture, but there's times when it says that the king could not sleep. If you remember over in the book of Esther, there was a time when the king could not sleep. Let me give you a blessing. I want to give you a verse of scripture. It's out of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, the verse 12. Let me just give you a good verse and something that you'll be encouraged by. Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Just want to tell you, if you're not rich, you're probably blessed. You can at least get a good night's sleep. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it's good if you're just a laboring man. A man goes out and labors and works and goes home. And after a good day's work and he's tired and he's wore out and he lays down and he gets some sleep. God says if you're rich, you're probably not going to get too many good nights' sleep. You're up worrying about your money, up worrying about riches. And I'm sure the king here was concerned and worried about some of the things that he had in his kingdom. We find that what really was troubling Nebuchadnezzar, you'll find in chapter 2, I'm going to kind of jump around a little while here till we get in our message, but chapter 2 and verse number 29, he says this: "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." If you'll notice, the thoughts of his head, the thoughts of his mind were, what about the hereafter? I think there's a lot of people worrying about the hereafter. I think, and well, they should. The greatest concern of our heart ought to be what is going to happen in the hereafter. What about after death? We can live this life. I talked to a gentleman the other day, and we was discussing. He said, you know, he said, I've decided I just want to live life to its fullest. He was not being mean like that. He was not saying I'm going to go out and do wicked things. He said, I just want to enjoy life. He said, I know that life is fairly short, and I don't have a whole lot of years. He was had some years on him, and he said, I just like to enjoy, like to have fun and talk and have fun. And he said, so I am determined to do that. So I said to him, I said, you know, that's probably a good philosophy to enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with that. But how about the hereafter? How about after death? And he turned around from me. We were standing in a parking lot. He turned around and went and got in his car and took off and never said a word. What I'm saying to you, the hereafter is more important than this life. What happens hereafter? The king here was concerned about the hereafter. The one thing that the king Nebuchadnezzar could not do was interpret God's plan. It takes a spiritual person to interpret the things of the Spirit of God. He was not a spiritual person, so he could not interpret what God was saying unto him in that dream. So he began to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. He called these kind of people who were actually wicked people, false teachers, people who were following other gods. If you'll go back to the book of Deuteronomy, we're not going to do that tonight, but Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and you read down through that chapter, you'll find that God forbid those kind of people in the lives of the Israelites. They were wicked people. But let me say to you, before this man, Nebuchadnezzar, this king, was standing the world's wisdom. That's all he had. He didn't have anything else. All he had standing before him was a bunch of false teachers who could absolutely tell him nothing. I certainly do not know all that our leaders today have standing before them, but I have a feeling there's a whole lot of the same type of people standing before our leaders to give them the advice that they should have, and it's not godly advice. Now, help me to understand, and as I try to make you understand this, I'm not saying all of our leaders' advisors are ungodly people, but let me say to you, more than likely, most of them are. They do not take this book and this Bible and lay out the plan that God has and give their advice according to the Word of God. That's a horrible thing, to be a leader and not have good advisors, godly advisors. Here was Nebuchadnezzar, who was that kind of a person, that he did not have godly advisors. To be a godly advisor, you've got to understand the Word of God. You've got to have the Spirit of God in you to be able to understand what the Word of God says, or you cannot be a godly advisor. You need to know what God says. So these kind of people that were standing before King Nebuchadnezzar could not interpret the message that God had sent, because it was a spiritual message. It was a message from God. We are tonight not going to get into the dream that he had. That's coming, and it's exciting, and it's good to look into that dream. But there's many things that we need to understand about the book of Daniel and the teachings of Daniel that lead up to his interpretation of the dream. We've already looked at why Daniel was there. We know Daniel was there in Babylon because of the word of God had already predicted that he would be there. Not just that he named him by name, but young men would be brought there. And Daniel was one of those young men that was brought there. So we know it was a fulfillment of the word of God. So we also know that only those who have the Spirit of God could interpret God's message. There's no doubt about that. You understand that. The only reason you can sit down and read your Bibles and understand the Word of God, and we know we don't understand all of the Word of God. We know that there's so much to know. But the only way whatsoever you can get anything out of the Word of God is because of the Spirit of God that dwells within you. You understand that. Amen. These people who stood before Nebuchadnezzar were ungodly people. They could not understand the message that God had sent to this king. So the decree had went forward. The wise men were going to be slain if they could not give the dream and the interpretation of the dream. If you will look in chapter 2, and I believe it's in verse 13, it says, "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain." In verse number 14, "Then Daniel answered and counseled the wisdom to Arioch, the king, captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." See, Daniel in these had been forgotten. He had been forgotten that he was one of the wise men. They did not come after him at that time. They went out to seek all these other ones, the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and those who were of wicked sort. They forgot Daniel. And so at this time, God had not forgot Daniel. I want you to understand a principle. One of the principles I want to get over to you tonight, there's really basically two principles. We'll talk about other things, but there's two principles I would like to share with you tonight. One of them is God uses prepared people. God had prepared Daniel from his youth. Young people, take heart in that. God prepares us from our youth to do that which God wants us to do and has prepared us for. It's a wonderful thing. If you will look over in chapter 2, verse 48 and 49, we're kind of jumping ahead, but I want to show you one of the things that Daniel had been prepared for. He says in verse 48, "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." God had prepared him to be over and to be given this great authority here in Babylon. God had prepared him for it way long, many years before. I want to tell you something. I just want to tell you this principle. God prepares those whom he uses. And I just want you to know that, and it's so important to understand, you need to be prepared. You need to let God prepare you in life. Now, I could go back and tell you many things about my life. I won't bore you with it. But I could go back, honestly, and tell you many times back even in my childhood when I did not realize that God was preparing me for the pastorate. I did not know that then. I did not understand that then. But he was preparing me in many, many ways to do what I'm very doing here today. But I did not understand all of those things, of course, when I was growing up. I even sat in church at times and used to think what it would be like to be a preacher. Honestly, I thought this. He gets to talk all the time, and I have to sit here and be quiet all the time. I used to think of things like that. Silly things, you know. Silly things. But I used to think of things like that. Sitting back or thinking, wonder what it would be like to be up there preaching. Never had any idea that God would call me to preach. No idea whatsoever. In fact, it was the farthest thing from my mind. Amen. And I wanted to keep it there. But God had a purpose. God had a reason. If you will look at your life, you can remember something. God is preparing you for a service. No matter what you think, you may think, oh no, God would not prepare. Oh no, God is preparing and has been preparing you for a service to be used of God. See, each individual has a reason for being here. Amen? We all have a reason, and we need to understand, we need to fulfill that which God has prepared us for. You know, it was interesting the other night when Brother Gross was preaching, and I took note and I pondered on what he said. He said, you know, we, a lot of times people think, well, if they don't do something, God will just get somebody else to do it. It'll get done. And he said, that's not true. And you know, I got to thinking, I got to pondering that. I'd thought about that before, and I thought that's true. We're supposed to do certain. My mind went back to the book of Esther at that time as I was pondering on this, thinking about what God, through Malachi, had told Esther. And told Esther that, you know what? If you do not go before the king, God will send enlargement and deliverance from another place. In other words, you and your family will be destroyed, but God will send deliverance from another place. But I pondered that and I thought the reason that was that God said that was because it was a covenant he'd made with the Israelites. And the covenant he'd made with the Israelites could not be broken. It was a covenant of the word of God. He could not deliver the Israelites. He would have done it some way. And then on the other hand, I look at the book of Ezekiel and I realize that the word of God says, if we warn not the wicked of their wicked ways, their blood shall be upon our hands. So I realize, yes, the covenant, the word of God will never be broken. God will see to it that his word will always go forward. But we have been chosen to do certain things for God. And if you got in this in your mind that just because you don't want to do something, you can get away with not doing it. No, God says the blood will be on your hands. I believe there's people lost and in hell today because Christians were so lazy and so uncaring that they would not give the gospel. And I believe the blood is on their hands. So I pondered what he thought and I thought, oh, how important it is that we fulfill that which God has given for us to do. We cannot say no to God's purpose for our life. And I realize the purpose of God for our life is we're all different. God has prepared all of us for different things and given us different opportunities and different things that he wants us to fulfill. I realize that all of that, everybody's not called to stand behind a pulpit. I understand that all people are not called to go to the Dominican Republic as Luke and Hannah are today. I understand all of those things. But you're prepared for something. That's the thing we've got to remember, that God has prepared us. God prepared Daniel for this day that we're reading about. And God had him prepared to be that man of God. There in that place to be do the thing that God had for him to do at that time. God had him prepared. And I believe with all of my heart that we better be a little careful that we don't want to fulfill that which God has prepared for us to do. What has God prepared for you to do? What is it that God wants you to do? Doesn't have to be a preacher. You know that. But what is God prepared for you to do? Are you fulfilling that which God wants you to do? So important. And God prepares us and gets us ready to do that which other people are not prepared to do. He hasn't prepared other people to do that. He's prepared you or I to do those things. Amen? And we need to understand that we need to fulfill that which God has prepared for us. Or it probably is not going to get done. And that's serious business. We better be careful. We're so flippant nowadays. So flippant about the will of God and about what God wants in our life. We'll just do this or we'll just do that. Wait a minute. You belong to God. You don't belong to you. You're not yours. You was bought with a price. The talents that God has given you are to be used for His glory. And each of us have different talents. God has prepared us in different ways and given us things that He wants us to have so we can be used of His, of Him. Do you understand what this preacher's saying? That work that He's prepared you to do, He wants you to do it. Amen. May not seem like an important work, but it's important to God that it gets done. I was thinking, Brother Casper, about you and your family going over there to the nursing home there in Spencer. And when Brother Casper went, you know, went with great expectation and excitement. And I did too. I was so thankful. Got over there and they put him in the Alzheimer's unit. They didn't put him in there. I mean, they put him in there. They put him in there to serve. That's where they put him. And you know what, though? He's taken that so well, as that's where God wants him. Right now, that's where God wants him. I don't know what he'll do in the future. But I was thinking what a wonderful thing it is just to be willing to fulfill that which God has for you to do right now. That's important. It may not seem a lot to some folk, but those folk in that unit over there are important to God. Brother Brewer, when you went down to the services today, Wayne's important to God. No, he is. Wayne's important. Brother Bob, Brother Beller, when you go to your nursing home services, they're important. Those folk are important. The work that you're doing is important work. It's serious work. It's the work of God. And we could go on through Sunday school teachers and children's church workers, and we could go through all of those, and well, we might, should. But I just want to say something to you. Those positions that God has given you and given you the responsibility to do are important work. And God has prepared you for it. You have abilities to do things that other folk don't have. There's a lot of abilities that I don't have. I'm not a mechanic. I want to tell you, Tommy knows I'm not a mechanic. But Tommy's a mechanic. Some of you are electricians, and I'm not a good electrician, and certainly Brother Brewer's not a good electrician. But I want to tell you something. He has talents that you electricians don't have. Amen. Yeah. Well, you may not know them all, but I want to tell you, you've got talents that God is using. And I know that, and I understand that. I'm just simply saying, God has prepared us all differently. But He's prepared us for a work. His work. That's exciting if you young people would just listen to what this preacher's saying. God is preparing you for a wonderful work to do. And only really can you do it like He wants it done. Amen? It may not be like somebody else. It doesn't matter. God's preparing you to do the work He wants done, and really only you can do it the way He wants it done, because He's prepared you for it. It's all different. Amen? Say, I'm not very smart. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not very smart either. Used to worry me. Don't worry me anymore. No, I'm not being smart about that. I'm really not. I'm just saying, God prepared me. He made me like I am. He just made me like I am. And that's okay. And He made you like you are. To be used of God. Amen. So He prepares. He prepares His people, you see. So we find in verse number 17, chapter number 1. Again, for as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, did you see where Daniel got his wisdom and his knowledge and everything? We mentioned that, but did you see where he got it? He didn't get it at Walmart or Kmart. He got it from God. That's where you have to get it. Amen. And so when Daniel answered here, them here. He answered them with great wisdom and counsel and understanding. Why? Because God had given it to him, you see. You don't have to turn there, but as Daniel began to answer and understand that this was a serious business. I was thinking with Don Mowry, you know, he had these blood clots in his lung, and he had this blood clot on his leg. I mean, do you ever stop and think, that's serious? It was time to get a hold of God, and it's still time to do that. That's serious. I heard his doctor stand here right and tell him, said, well, some people have these things. He said, the blood clot breaks loose and it kills them. No, his doctor said that. Sometimes it does damage. Does damage. He said, I think you're going to be okay. I don't think it's done a lot of damage, and you certainly hadn't killed you. But it's serious business. Amen? You see, this was serious business with Daniel. He could have been killed. He could have. But I think Daniel was, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses. I think Daniel probably had in his mind and remembered something. Over in the book of Isaiah 43rd chapter in verse 2 he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And then God says something, for I am the Lord thy God. Whew. You know, I kind of have a feeling Daniel was remembering that. Yeah, I'm going to go through the fires. The water's going to come up on me. No, it won't overcome me. Why? Because God, my Lord is there. Amen. In Jeremiah, just let me tell you what it says in 1st chapter 19 verse. And they shall fight against thee, and they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. See, I think Daniel remembered back and said, I'm going to take you. My God's going to take care of me. Amen. Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel in the 3rd chapter, fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. He said, don't worry about them. I'll take care of you. Isn't that wonderful? You see, we've got the same God. Same God. Amen. So in chapter 2 of Daniel, verse number 15 and verse number 16, he says, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel went in confidence. He went to his friends in confidence. He was not afraid. You know, there's a verse of scripture over in John, the 15th chapter, that God said, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. I think Daniel went in that kind of confidence to God because you know why? He had been serving the great and wonderful God. He was faithful to God. He had confidence in God, not of anything of himself, but that he just knew his God would help him. Amen. Did you know that we can go in the same confidence? Do you know that we serve the same God that Daniel served? Do you know we have the same assurances and the same promises of the Word of God that Daniel has? You understand what I'm saying? We should walk in confidence that our God will help us. And we also ought to walk with God as Daniel walked. Amen? Sure. Now, I want to show you what Daniel did in verse number 17. He says, and then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. I want you to notice immediately after he found out about this, he went to attend to it. There's some things, folks, that needs immediate attention. There's some things you don't want to put off. This is a personal thing, but whenever I heard about Daniel going to having to go to Iraq, we don't know all that's going to happen. I know he doesn't know because they don't tell you all those things. But I want to tell you what it done to me. I didn't put off thinking, I'll pray down the road. I went to prayer almost immediately to our God and began to pray for my grandson, our grandson. Begin to ask God to protect him and take care of him and lead him and guide him and direct him and help him to be a good soldier, but at the same time to be safe. That is not selfish, Daniel. Your grandpa and grandma, and I know your daddy, mom, and I'm sure your other grandma and grandpa and all your relatives wants you to be safe. There's only one that can oversee all of that. I can't. Or whatever it might be, whatever the safety he needs. And he's going to be prayed for. I think that's exactly what we ought to do. Amen? And not just for Daniel. We need to pray for each other. So Daniel understood something. He needed to attend to this now, not tomorrow, not next week. He needed to attend to it now. So what did he do? Well, he went to his people who were spiritual, men like himself who love God. And they got a hold of God together. Folks, I want to tell you something. Just a name does not make a person spiritual. You can call me pastor, but that doesn't make me spiritual. It has to come from within. You understand? He knew these men's hearts. He went to them because he knew they loved God. They stood for God. They walked with God. And he went to them because he needed their help and counsel. I want you to know also he didn't go to meet him to form a committee. He went to call a prayer meeting. Amen. He went to call a prayer meeting. You see, and that's exactly what they did in verse number 18. He says, and they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Why? They came to God. They needed his mercy. They needed God, and so they began to pray. They called a prayer meeting, folks, and that's what we need is a prayer meeting. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou hast knowest not. I want to show you some great things, he said. I want to tell you about what can happen, the future. I want to show you. Why? Because you and I can't do it, but God can. They called a prayer meeting. They couldn't stop the situation. They couldn't know. Daniel could not know the interpretation of that dream. Couldn't even know the dream unless God got involved. And I want to tell you this wisdom, this help that Daniel got did not come from the world. It came from God. That's where your help cometh from. It comes from God. Oh, I could take you over to a lot of scripture, but I think let's go to Psalms 37 just for a moment. I want you to listen as I read a portion of this psalm. I want you to listen to what it says, folks. Let it sink into your heart. Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Listen to what he says. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You could continue to read that wonderful psalm, but you hear what God is, what he's saying. His trust, the psalmist's trust was in God. Completely in God. That's where God wants your trust. Not in your abilities, not in someone else's abilities, but in God Almighty's ability to do what needs to be done, to help you and watch over you and give you the desires of thy heart. You have to have your trust, your help, and your knowing your help is in God. You understand what this preacher's saying? Over Hebrews, the 13th chapter, In verse number 6, he says, though that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I think Daniel was thinking that very thoughts. It's God that is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man will do to me. You see, he could have been slain. Yes, he could have been slain. That's true. God did not let him. He was not going to fear what man would do. Why? Because God was his helper. Amen. This prayer meeting in verse 19 tells us that this prayer meeting lasted up in the night. If you go back with me to the book of Daniel, verse number 19, he says, and then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Paul and Silas were praying at midnight, if you'll remember. Jesus many times prayed up into the night, sometimes all night. What I'm saying is we've just got to get a hold of God. I believe with all of my heart this is one of the great needs of the day, is people getting a hold of God, taking enough time to get aside and praying and asking God to do that which we cannot. And I want to show you what else he done. In verse number 20, verse number 23 and through 23, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who has given me wisdom and might, and thou hast known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. I don't know if you understand it completely, but let me say to you, they called one of the most wonderful praise meetings that's ever been held. God answered their prayers. And Daniel began to praise God for all that he is. I'm afraid, again, not only do we not pray enough, we don't praise enough. But I want to tell you, it was in prayer here that Daniel and his three friends, after God had revealed unto him, began to praise God. He told God he's forever and ever. He recognized the fact that God was just not some human being, but he lives forever and ever. He also thanked him for the wisdom and might. He understood that it come from God. It did not come from him. He changes the time and the seasons, he said. It's interesting, on over in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, talks about the Antichrist there, who tries to change the change of times and the laws. And God gives him 3.5 years to try to do that, and then he just squashes him. Because God is God. He also removeth and setteth up kings. Doesn't that give you hope? The United States did not bring Saddam Hussein down. God did. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. Daniel said, I was given wisdom. Who gave it? God gave it. Amen. He gave him knowledge to them that know understanding. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. He revealeth the deep and secret things. That's God. Here's the other principle I want you to remember. I want you to remember that, first of all, that you are being prepared by God to do whatever it is. I may not know what it is, but God has a work for you. Here's one of the things that I believe, a principle that I want to share with you and you young people, and really adults alike. This is one of the things that I tell every preacher that I have an opportunity to tell and talk to them. If they ask me for advice, this is the first word of advice that I always give them. Always see to it that God gets the glory. You want to be successful, as people call successful. I believe people are successful when they're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. That's successful people. Numbers do not determine success. Being in the will of God determines success. But if you want, quote, to be successful in your ministry, and I'm not just talking about the ministry of a pastor, I'm talking about any kind of ministry you might have, working for the Lord. Give God the glory. As Daniel did, he saw to it that as soon as God answered his prayer, he began to praise God and thank God for who God was and what he had done. The greatest advice I can give to you as an individual is do not take glory upon yourself and honor upon yourself. Now listen to me. Be careful. I've seen it. You've probably witnessed it. We can have what we call a false praise. We can, praise God, what he's done, and then begin to tell all that we have done. There's a big difference of praise that just comes from here and praise that comes from here. Big difference. And we need to be sure and understand that whatever, anything we ever do that is good, it's because of God. It's not us and cannot be us. Understand? Now, you young people, as you grow up, you remember this. You give God the glory, not just with words, but from a heart that said, thank God for what he's done. Now, words will be there, but it must come from the heart, as Daniel's did. Oh, my, if you will read those three verses, I think it's maybe four verses there, and read what Daniel said about God, it'll thrill your heart. That came from his heart. That didn't just come from the mouth that was proclaiming something. It come from a grateful heart for what God had done. That's success. Give God the glory in everything. I think that's one of the reasons I love Brother Gross so much. He's just got a heart for God that just says, I'm nothing and God is everything. He's done that all his ministry. Now, he can't say he had great big churches and numbers, but I want to tell you something. He is successful because he gave God the glory. Give God the glory. Young people growing up, give God the glory. Take credit for the mistakes, but give God the glory. Amen. For we do make them. But give God the glory. Always. Be prepared of God and give him the glory. Now tonight as we close, I just want to say something to you. I've not said a lot about it. But Jesus Christ is the wonderful Son of God. He's God the Son who came and died on the cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life. I do not know if you're saved here tonight or not. I do not know if you've truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I want you to know he loves you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again for your justification that you might be saved. If you're here tonight unsaved, it'd be a wonderful, great time for you to come and give your heart to Christ. Receive him as your personal Savior. Be born again. As a child of God, you're here tonight. Remember, God's preparing you. It'd be a great opportunity tonight to come to an altar and accept the preparation that God is making in your life. Tell him you know that you're being prepared for something, and whatever that is, you want to do it. You want to fulfill that which God has prepared for you. And that you'll make a promise to God that you'll always give him the glory and the honor for all good things in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness, your wonderful grace. Once again, we come to you tonight thanking you, Father, for this day that you've given us. For all that's been accomplished here today, we understand, we realize from the bottom of our hearts, it came from you. And Father, thank you for all that you do. And once again tonight, there's people here, they may have needs. We trust that you'll deal with them, work with them. Oh, Father, if there's here any unsaved, oh, God, let this be the day of salvation. Now, Father, whatever need is in an individual's life tonight, not only am I asking you to meet it, as I know you will, but let them let you meet it. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.